and news director Sholly Pittman. Up next, we have Mel and Floyd. Keep it tuned here to your community-sponsored station, WORT 89.9 FM, Madison. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and supported.
Wow, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar and spice. I feel nice. The sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Hey.
Hey.
Dynamic. Way to jump in there.
Well, I'm trying to maintain this delicate equilibrium right now. It's every now and then I'm on that tightrope and I feel like I'm leaning a little too far.
Yeah.
So I have to modulate my feelings somewhat, so I don't get too crazy about everything.
Sure, the little drinking
the little drinky bird.
The drinky bird.
Yes,
drinks out of the.
And I don't want to start any rumors about drinking. But
no, water. But like the little bird that drinks a glass of water.
Filled with mercury. That's the years of living on this planet have made me like one of those drinky birds.
You know, the free market will get rid of that mercury sooner or later.
Exactly. So what you been up to?
Not a whole lot. I've been trying to, stay warm and. Going to the gym,
Good for you.
Because I'm, such a health addict.
You should be. That's a good thing.
Well, most of my life now is spent around, trying to, stall off the decay.
Virgin's blood is what I've heard.
I've seen many movies where that seems to work. I don't know. Thought those were documentaries. I wasn't sure, so...
Have you seen any of those stories every once in a while about some billionaires that are trying to live forever and they have all these crazy schemes to...
Why is it the people that you do not want to live forever that are always the ones that want to live forever? I think they're afraid of hell. I seriously think that's the
judgment day.
Yeah,
thing.
They're kind of like, I don't know. Back in the back of my mind somewhere, I know I'm not going to be the head of the line when we get to the pearly gates.
I need a great big, tiny little camel to get through this eye of the needle here.
Exactly. Hey, the biggest metaphor I could possibly think of was in the news this week. There's a ship that it was a very well-known ocean liner that it ferried four presidents across the Atlantic. It hosted Duke Ellington and Sylvia Plath, and the last time it was actually out on the high seas was back in 1969. It's been in a dock ever since. In Philadelphia, PA, and now it's going to go. It's going down. It's going down for good. It's the SS United States. I'm like, oh man, could we have a more apt and more obvious metaphor?
Script writers are really obvious.
100 feet longer than the Titanic and going to the same place.
Wow.
Yeah, Davy Jones Locker. Now they're going to be. It's going to be the world's largest artificial reef. That's what you call it when you sink a ship these days, because it sounds. I think that's greenwashing, is what I think.
Yeah.
But it's a 900-foot long ship named the Big U, and it's going to be making a 14-day. Actually, it's on the journey right now. The Big U. Yep, on the journey to Mobile, Alabama.
Oh.
There in the Gulf of Mel and Floyd, where it's going to be sinking it down there. Apparently,
so the United States is sinking.
Sinking fast, down for the last time.
Taking on water.
Yeah, going down for good.
Yeah, well, we better rearrange those deck chairs pretty fast.
That's what we do here on the show.
The Big U reminded me.
Yeah.
I learned something not too long ago.
Yeah.
That like, you know, when you're at a hotel,
okay,
and they've got like the luggage rack that you, the little cart you use.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah. And yeah. And then they've got similar ones like in stores when they're stocking shelves and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
They call those U-boats.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that a great name?
That's a perfect name.
I love it. Because I never knew what to call it.
Get the U-boat, the cart thingy. Yeah, the cart thingy. Yeah, exactly.
Now I just say, get the U-boat, and nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Hey, speaking of the Gulf of Melon flight, I was looking at a breakdown of who actually has the most real estate. Because, you know, each country gets a maritime boundary outside of the actual landmass of that country.
We get more, though, right?
No, interestingly enough, we do not.
We should.
If you break it down by the area, Mexico, the Republic of Mexico, the United States of Mexico, actually owns most of this nameless Gulf. 49% belongs to Mexico, and only 46% belongs to the United States. But I was thinking about
President
Trump. You know, I get 46% in the first election.
I won.
And I won. So he thinks 46% is the winning percentage point, apparently. Cuba has some, too. Cuba has 6%, in case you're curious.
Oh, okay.
So they have a slice. But yeah, this is all international stuff. Then not only is it historically a good idea to call it, you know, by the name of that country, because that was named that before the country was, but it's but it also makes sense in terms of who has the most, you know, whose boundary takes in the most of the of the Gulf.
Right.
So, but screw that.
Yeah.
So Gulf of Melon Floyd, it's apparently you can go on MapQuest, and if you give them a little money, they'll name the Gulf after you. This is their little revenge, I guess, the dying embers of MapQuest. But so we got the Gulf of Melon Floyd.
Please don't use Apple or Google. You can call it whatever you want.
Whatever you like. So there's a Gulf of Melon Floyd right now. So you should be, if you want to go on MapQuest and see it, you may.
Oh, so. Trump expected to take control of United States Postal Service.
Oh, good Lord.
Fire Postal Board and put in his own experts, flunkies.
Oh, so, good Lord. But,
the important part about that is vote by mail is going to be in their hands then.
And
then you get to the old Stalin quote about, you know, it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Well, this actually this week he was also in the news, our dear president, was also in the news to...
Not my president!
Yeah, he's trying to stop efforts to fight meddling, foreign meddling in our voting process.
Oh, well, we don't.
Yeah, they're targeting...
And who would know more about that?
I mean, he knows it from the inside. Trump administration is targeting government officials who have been flagging foreign interference in U.S. elections. So they've already reassigned several dozen officials working on this project at the FBI, and forced out others at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security. And now it's kind of like the Department of Rollover and whatever. Have at it. Donald J. Trump, traitor and oathbreaker. The cuts are focused on people who are not only combating false content online, but also working on broader safeguards. I think he was, after what he said this week about the president of Ukraine, and all the basic Russian talking points that he was parroting this week, the president, I suspect that he was worried that he would probably get in trouble for that. He's one of those content providers right there, right? He's trying to undermine the election.
Ukraine,
yeah.
Why did you invade yourself?
Yeah, right.
Why are you such aggressors?
I just had this image of him grabbing, you know, Zelensky's fist and having him punching himself. Yeah. Why are you invading yourself? Why are you invading yourself?
Pretty much. Oh, my goodness. So
right in the midst of tax season, have you filed your taxes yet?
Yeah.
You have. So have we. But they just fired 6,700 employees.
Yeah, that's good timing.
They really are on top of these things, aren't they? They really are. And of course, it's a busy tax filing season for many. You know, the best bet here might have been not to file your taxes and wait for the smoking ruin.
See if they send you a notice.
See if they even notice.
But I guess a lot of those, or most of them, I think, were located in Kansas City, and that's a big processing center.
Sure.
So, you know, so that's hitting that local economy pretty hard there.
So are the senators from Kansas making a noise?
Well, it's
that?
You know, a little bit here and there. I mean, we're starting to see a few
what's that
dribbles.
Squeak? What's that squeak I hear? Squeak,
yeah. Squeak.
Is there a noise in here? No, please, not us.
Please
not
don't screw my constituents.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Well, they have to balance that against, you know, whether Musk is going to bankroll some crazy guy to run against them in a primary, or whether they're going to, and this has happened, this people have admitted this, that they're afraid to vote a certain way because they're getting death threats, and their family's getting death threats.
Well, that's the advantage of having the brown shirts.
So, yeah.
I mean, the Patriots.
The tourists.
The tourists, yeah, right. The tourists. Oh, wah.
Somebody had posted online a response they got from Ron Johnson's office when they wrote him a letter, you know, concerned.
John Ronson?
Yeah, John Ronson.
About, no show Rojo?
about the whole Musk situation and just the slash and burn. And it was just this master class.
Heady Musk.
Master class in gaslighting, saying, well, he's not doing anything that hasn't been done since 1962.
Oh,
and the president has this authority
and blah,
blah, blah. And it's like, yeah. No, this is totally different. You've never had anything like this before. And
right.
And this guy has no checks and balances, no accountability, no transparency.
But they noticed this week that also means he could be sued as a private citizen. So then they said, oh, no, he's not actually in charge of it at all.
Right. But then the next day, Trump said he was.
Okay, I got to point out one thing that I heard this week that the Trump administration is doing, and this is, I don't know what to make of this, because on the one hand, yeah, he's, you know, Russia and China are, you know, dancing in the streets. But on the other hand, why are we doing this stuff anyway? The Secretary of Defense, you know, party boy, he decided that we're going to cut the defense budget by 8%. For each of the next 5 years. That's, you know, in Trump's third term. And I'm kind of like, I'm not sure I'm against that.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, there's something they're doing.
Yeah.
They have an interesting take on American power, which I would think was more sensible if they weren't doing things like, you know, getting rid of foreign aid and so on. But I mean, they apparently think that we're too overextended and need to stop doing
that. Well, there is the isolationist, you know, flavor.
Yeah. Well, I'm not necessarily feeling bad about that.
Yeah. But they'll use that to punish, like, blue states. Though.
Yeah.
You
know, of course.
It'll be very targeted.
Or they'll marshal their army to take over Greenland or something.
Yeah. or they'll just privatize it and say that they saved all that money.
So, that's an excellent point. Oh, yeah. I should never be so gullible. You're absolutely right. And all they're going to do is they're going to farm it out to.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, the black. What's it? What's the black site people? DeVille's brother.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, you mean from the Iraq War?
Yeah. The black something or other.
Yeah. Black ops.
Black.
Oh, the name of the company.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. It's totally loose.
But then they changed it to like happy
fun.
Happy fun time.
Yeah.
No torture company.
Now with 10% less torture. Hence the name, No Torture. Oh.
Well, it's the same with the post office. When taking over the post office, they'll just, you know, I imagine Bezos might have something to contribute to that.
I tried explaining this to people that the reason some things, let's imagine for the sake of argument that you think capitalism is not such a bad idea. Okay, well, does everything that a person can do or make or distribute, is it all appropriately done through that mechanism? There's an awful, I mean, more shoes, that's great, you know. But I'm just like, doctors, prisons, you know, whatever. I mean, are all of these things also amenable to a cost benefit, to a bottom line, to a shareholder value point of view? It seems to me that if you want to have a post office that actually serves every American, then no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's
because you're not going to make money off of that.
A lot of these things are universal services because of that. I mean, we wouldn't have rural electrification, rural telephones, you know, rural internet is, you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
Unless they were you know, either forced or aided by some sort of government. I heard a great analogy one time. Somebody said, okay, suppose you go to Thanksgiving dinner at grandma's house, and grandma's a great cook and loves to cook and has a great time on Thanksgiving, and everybody comes, and you sit down, you have a wonderful meal. It's just the best meal you ever had, and you say, thanks, grandma, and you stand up and you throw a $50 bill on the table.
How about a 20?
It depends on how good the meal was and how much you like grandma. But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, everything is not, you can't break everything down to dollars and cents.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and they've done studies on social trust. I mean, I've read a lot of these things. Economists have looked at situations where you try to motivate people through solidarity and exhibiting trust, what are called ascending trust spirals, where you say, I will trust you to do X, and then people feel an obligation as a result of that. And then trying replacing that with basically paying people money to do that thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that when a trust relationship, a human relationship, is not built, how much more likely it is that the person is not going to trust you and is not going to do the job as well either, because they don't feel any kind of vested interest in it. It's purely a way to achieve some other extrinsic end.
Right. And you don't get long-term relationships either.
Exactly.
If you're giving people money after a certain point, it's like, well, I don't want to do this anymore.
I mean, I suppose that, you know, people could complain this was a sclerotic sort of economic system, but back in the day, people used to stay at a company till they retired.
Yeah.
Who does that? You know what I mean? It's like you're there for 2 years and you're out with the garbage or whatever.
You know? What does it get rid of you when you turn 40? Because you're making too much money.
Logan's Run. It's the carousel for you.
Report to Sector D. There. Musk is spending $1.5 million on Wisconsin's Supreme Court race.
Do you mean scum? He's spending how much on what?
$1.5 million so far. Earlier, I saw it was about half of that, so he must be, you know, opening up
I think that's pocket change for him.
Well, sure it is. Like, I mean, that's not even a day's worth of interest in his bank account. But you know, it's Citizens United. That's free speech.
Seek Effin Heil.
You can run more ads saying that Susan Crawford's, what do you say, turning your pets into
she's
gay or something? Or
they say you're spaying and neutering them, but really it's gender reassignment. Gender reassignation for your pets.
And then they're going to eat them.
Yeah, and then they'll eat them. Yeah, well.
$1.5 million from Musk in the Wisconsin race.
Wow.
So, now here's this might be a little bit of overreach here.
Okay.
Because they're messing with Dolly Parton now. Dolly has called out the Indiana governor.
What, the Federal Office of Breast Management is on her finally? I've wondered about that for a while.
No, she's called out the Indiana governor over a plan to dump her Imagination Library. It's something she's set up to.
Oh, yeah.
Called the Imagination Library Programs.
Yeah.
It's a book gifting program to encourage early reading.
Yep, don't want that.
And the new budget in Indiana does not include the usual 50% matching funds provided to finance the initiative.
Because
it's woke or something.
Yeah, it's woke to read.
Yeah.
Well, it is. You get ideas. You don't want that.
Well, yeah. So
you will be awakened. So I have something here. It's a gift for us. This comes from Mindless Minion number 30. By the way, 30 in this case was the number of acres in a, what was it, a veer take, which is a medieval land measurement. Anyway, but this is, we were talking about democracy. We were talking about democracy, and we were a little slighting of democracy. And so this minion, his name is James, actual name is James. He made us some little things to carry in our pockets, just like we were little Mormons or something. And it's a definition of democracy. And on the obverse, it says democracy, noun, the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. And, of course, that comes from H.L. Mencken.
Sure.
And then on the reverse, on the back, and you can just pull this out anytime somebody asks about it. The Democracy, noun, the worship of jackals by jackasses.
So. Well, good. Maybe I'll go to the airport and just harass people. Deplaning.
So these
deep planing sounds painful, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like deboning
and unnecessary.
Or yeah.
Leaving the plane would be fine with me. This is that whole terrible thing that we have in every occupation, is that we have to create a pseudoscientific sounding vocabulary to go with it. Deplaning, what is it? Is this like, are you a physicist or something? Is this just they're getting off the plane? Can you say we're getting you off the plane?
We're gonna pre-board.
Yeah, I know. Veterans with children.
And an iPad.
You're the Kryptonon status.
I used to have this really just insane boss. I mean, she was just totally nuts.
Oh, I had that one too.
Yeah, yeah. But before we'd ever have a meeting with like any outside agency or something, yeah, we would always have to have the pre-meeting meeting.
Oh, very good.
And just to kind of work our roles, and you know, yeah, we were just there to support her. So
did you ever have a pre-meeting meeting?
Yeah, oh yeah, meeting? Yeah. So, but she wanted us to play the role, and she used this term of stooges. So
I got to give her credit for that. She's laying it out there.
At least she was honest with us.
You got to give her props.
It just shows how below contempt we were for her. It's like you call the dog, you know, stinky or something.
Secretary Scorn came by today. Oh dear.
But yeah, so,
or was she Assistant Secretary Scorn?
See, as stooges, our role was to ask the right questions so she could give the answer she wanted.
I thought you were a stooge second class.
And we could I thought it meant hit somebody in the head with a crowbar and poke them in the eye. Yeah. So that first meeting did not go well for me.
It was a learning experience. Yeah, right. Enough with the giant shears, all right? Sorry. Well, your job sounds a lot like my job. I guess all jobs sound alike when you really boil them down.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know, Trump has his own media company. We don't even talk about corruption. That's just baked in. But one of the things that his media company is doing, Trump Media, is actually suing. They're not sending him hate mail. They're suing a Brazilian Supreme Court justice. Can you guess what this is?
Because he was nasty?
Well, this Bolsonaro situation. Like down in Brazil, a reputed developing country, they actually take care of their would-be dictators pretty straightforwardly. But, you know, he's... So, apparently, the Brazilian justice had received an indictment that would force him to decide whether to order the arrest of Bolsonaro, the former Brazilian president and an ally of, guess who, Donald Trump. The Trump Media and Technology Group, which is majority owned by the president and runs the Truth, I have to laugh every time I say it, social site, sued the justice, Alexandre de Moraes, in U.S. Federal District Court. They said that joining as a plaintiff was Rumble, a Florida-based video platform that pitches itself as a home for free speech. So apparently, Mr. Bolsonaro is not having his free speech rights respected. So there.
What?
You ask me. I mean, you got to give Trump credit for being just like he seems to have a lot of energy. Do you ever notice that? And really kind of. He's relentless. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, it's they're gonna sue this if they're not gonna send him like a poison apple or something. But yeah. I mean, they're gonna sue this Brazilian justice,
exploding Supreme Court cigar.
No, that was Robert Kennedy. See, even Daddy Bobby had interesting ideas. Obviously, that got passed to the son.
Was that his idea?
Yeah, the exploding cigar thing.
For Castro.
Yeah.
That would have been great, though. I mean, I don't want anybody.
Would have been wonderfully ironic.
I wouldn't wish anybody, you know, to die or anything. But that would have been kind of.
But maybe sort of like in the, you know.
Yeah, just like in
like
the cartoon. In the cartoons where
like,
it makes his
like,
face, you know, full of soot.
Yeah,
and
like
stuff.
Yosemite Sam or something. Yeah.
His head spins around like Daffy Duck or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's fine.
And then he's fine in the next take. Yeah, exactly. But the doctor bills, oi. Those tunes, I swear.
Well, you got to go to Acme Clinic, unfortunately. Yeah,
yeah. Never a good idea.
Judge orders Mississippi newspaper to delete editorial criticizing public officials.
Okay, well, and so it begins. What were they saying?
The judge, who had apparently never heard of the First Amendment.
What did he say it was?
It was a Mississippi newspaper.
Yeah, of course.
It was an editorial criticizing city officials in Clarksville, Mississippi. The city sued the publishers of the Clarksdale Press Register over an editorial.
Oh, Clarksdale, okay.
Clarksdale.
Oh, I got off at the wrong stop.
Yeah. It criticized officials for failing to notify the public about a hearing on proposed tax increases, which I would assume is required.
Yeah.
If they're still part of, you know, society as we know it. So they were criticizing them for something legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they
yep.
weren't they weren't yep. doing to yep. as far as yep. openness and accountability. But on Tuesday, without a hearing to review the allegations, the Hinds County Court Judge Crystal Wise Martin, an ironically named middle name there, ordered the newspaper to remove the column from its website. The judge noted that the case involved allegations of defamation against public figures through actual malice and reckless disregard of the truth and interferes with their legitimate function.
Oh, dear.
So, as public figures.
That's our whole show.
As public figures, they should be. Yeah. They're up for, you know, this type of criticism. And
dare I say it, ridicule.
Yeah. So, yeah, so those are the types of things that are getting traction now.
So this Monday, there were thousands of protesters in the streets across the U.S. I don't know if you heard about all this, but this was on President's Day, which the president, you know, it was funny when they were trying to come up with the name for the chief magistrate, as they called it back then, of the United States. There were some people that thought president was too mild because it just means the one who presides, right?
Sure.
And you would have a president of like a, I don't know, soccer team or something. You know? It was just kind of, there were some people that kind of made fun of that. But it definitely was, that was the idea. The president, he's not a governor. He's not governing, right? He's presiding. And he's definitely not a monarch. He's not the monarch means sole ruler, right? So on President's Day, people got a little miffed that apparently our current president has suggested that he might be more than what he is, and there were people who were.
He hasn't suggested it.
He actually said it.
Yes.
I know. On Monday he suggested it. Apparently they put that idea in his head.
Good idea.
Good idea. Now that you're saying, now that it's out there, let's just go with it. But one of the chants that people were chanting was, "No king, no crown, we will not back down."
Very good.
And many protesters embraced symbols of patriotism, as they rightly should, waving their flags and flag beanies and flag whatevers. And
upside down flags.
Upside down flags. It's our anthem. It's our flag. It belongs to us. This was Sean Morris, the president of the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington.
Oh, very good.
We wanted to take it back. So he said he was deeply...
They're not going to be performing at the Kennedy Center, I assume.
Anytime soon, yeah. No, probably not. But this group in particular was there in Washington to respond to Mr. Trump's, of course, mandate that he put out to push transgender people out of the military and, moreover, to erase any mention of transgender folk from federal government websites. So, yeah, there were a lot of folks that were there in the nation's capital and in other parts of the country. And you're absolutely right. Many of them were flying the flag upside down because this is a universal symbol of distress. Mm. And there are many people who are distressed right now.
Yeah, I think people gathered in pretty much all of the state capitals and one form or another.
Yep. So let's see. Rallies of different sizes with different names. Some were Not My President's Day. Other ones like the one in Washington were No King's Day. There was a rally at Union Square in New York. There was a rally in Nantucket and Roanoke, all over the country, Sacramento. The Sacramento crowd was estimated by police at about 1,500. So some other people had probably unnecessary adjectives, like no billionaire kings, which, you know, sure, kind of kings just usually have the giant piles of money, but, you know, stop the coup. That's a good one. I think we're right in the middle of a coup. It might be a slow motion coup, but we can see it.
Yeah.
You know, just like if somebody comes out of a bank with a bag of money, you don't need to go to court to figure out they're robbing it, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, this is, it's such a cliche to compare this to the early days of Nazi Germany, but that's exactly what happened when Hitler was elected as chancellor. They did like a, I think it was a 53-day, if I can, you know, can use the term, blitzkrieg, to wipe out any kind of rights that the German people had, and to consolidate power into one person.
The Gleichschaltung.
Yeah.
It was the coordination, they called it.
The speed run.
Yep.
But yeah, if you missed it on earlier this week, Trump sent out some stupid tweet or truth or something about there was some
he truthed it
that the
we have to come up with a new word for that, obviously.
toofed it. But it was about, there was something about New York City had some congestion pricing
program. Right. Yep.
And they must have had some federal funds or something involved, because he put the kibosh on
that. He's pig bite mad.
Although New York afterwards said, no, we're still going to do it. But anyway, so anyway, he put out this boastful tweet that he had ended the congestion pricing in New York, and then he closed it off with, "Long live the king." And then the White House.
Don King, I think.
Then the White House, certainly not Martin Luther. But then the White House put out an official tweet or something or statement where they had mocked up a picture of a fake Time magazine cover with Trump as a king with the crown on and all that stuff. And it was just...
He loves the bling, doesn't he?
It was disgusting. Yeah. It was really just disgusting to see that come out of... as an official statement from the White House.
It's interesting that it's gone there, because I think, as I've said, you know, this is going back several years now. I don't think, you know, people say he's a fascist. That's too sophisticated. I mean, this is much more, as I said, atavistic. It's much more like, you know, rich people get to run everything, and, you know, and we all worship the guy that's, you know, in charge, who apparently, as he said in his inaugural address, rescued by God for a mission. So, you know, he's God blessed. So, I mean, that's the definition of a monarchy, a single person blessed by a supernatural power.
Yeah. Well, they had another one of those CPAC conventions a couple days ago.
It sounds like something they'd all... Like, yeah, I know. It's like, is that what you're using to sleep at night?
Well, I can't imagine they sleep. How else they would sleep? You know, unless they're
on their piles of money.
Yeah, I suppose. But no, they had some sort of movement or push for the third term.
Yeah,
you know, Trump 2028, and it was a placard out in front of like some meeting room or something, and it was a picture of Trump only like kind of done as a Roman emperor.
Yeah,
and it said, you know,
that's the, 2028. I think that's again. That's good.
Until the job's done.
That's actually good, Mel, because it is an apt comparison, right?
The
Roman Republic maintained all. I mean, it's a less incendiary one because, of course, it's so old. But the Roman Republic retained all of the illusion of a republic.
Yeah.
For almost, I think it was like 250 years after Augustus Caesar became the absolute ruler.
Yeah, I think that's where we're either at or going to be before too long, unless things change. I mean, because they'll control the voting. It'll be like Soviet-style voting.
Well, that's the gaslighting part of it you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we got Congress. What are you complaining about?
We got
about?
A Congress. We have votes every couple of years.
Yeah. And, they're just afraid that somebody's going to break their legs if they vote the wrong way.
Might fall out a window or something. So.
Defenestration.
All right, we have to take a break. Place some announcements.
Yes.
Then we're going to come back with...
some happy news.
Happy news.
Yes, I got happy news here.
Okay. I'll try to find some happy news, and then we'll do... I forgot to do this last week. I'm sorry, but this today in Black History. So, since it's Black History Month, whether you like it or not... So,
Well, I do too.
Some people apparently don't, because they've been taking it off calendars.
Oh, Lord.
For some reason.
Oh, Lord.
Google took all that stuff off their Google calendars. Like the
Google can bite me.
Yeah. Remember when Google used to have a way at the beginning?
Yeah.
Their slogan was "Don't be evil."
Yeah.
It was like they were
be evil.
It was like they were acknowledging, okay, we're gonna really be pulled in this direction of being evil. So we got to remind ourselves every day.
We had some market people look into this evil thing, and we found it really sells.
Just cross off the don't, and we can still use the letterhead.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to play some announcements and be back in about 2 minutes.
Washington, D.C. Or Richmond, Virginia, too.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Support for this program comes from Edgewood College Theater, presenting Kimberly Bellflower's biting, funny new play, John Proctor is the Villain, directed by Jeannie Leap, February 28th to March 8th at the Diane Bullweg Theater. At a rural high school in Georgia, teens are studying The Crucible while navigating love, sex, and school scandals. Holding a contemporary lens to the American classic, they question, who is really the hero and what is the truth? Discovering their own power in the process. Tickets at edgewood.edu/about/events/theater or search Edgewood College Theater.
Hi, I'm Mel from The Mel and Floyd Show.
And I'm Mr. Smarty Pants.
It's time again to vote for Madison Magazine's Best of Madison poll.
There's a category for Best Radio Team, and it would mean so much to our fragile egos if you could vote for Mel and Floyd.
I mean, we really don't need the validation, but oh God, please vote for us.
Go to the Madison Magazine site, find
the Best of Madison Arts and Entertainment section, and then nominate us under Radio Team.
There are also categories for local news website.
Hint, WRT local news.
Podcasts, and even best volunteer opportunity.
So vote your conscience.
That is, vote for WRT.
Nominations are open through the end of February.
Finalists advance to the next round.
Then Elon Musk's cat puts the results on the blockchain or something.
To recap,
Best of Madison nomination, Mel and Floyd for the Best Radio Team.
Citizen, you know what to do.
This announcement contains no DEI, IUDs, BFFs, BMFs, or pronouns per guidelines of the new Ministry of Truth, plastic straws, and full-flow toilets.
You understand me,
and we're back.
I think people should do what those dynamic testosterone-laden men are suggesting.
Oh, were they handsome? You couldn't see it on the radio, but
you could hear it in their voice.
We had the video here, and they were just stunning. I don't know why their shirts were off. But
because they've only got one suit of clothes.
Hey, a caller called in.
Mom hasn't done laundry.
Yeah, mom hasn't done laundry, exactly. A caller called in. Thank you, caller, so much. And our pal, Lainey, was out there to take the call. There was a rally last Monday here in Madison, Wisconsin. Of course there was. And the caller says there were, quote, I guess hundreds of people there.
Good.
And the next rally is on Saturday, March 8th. So, next rally, Saturday, March 8th.
Okay. There's also a movement, I don't know how much traction this has, but to make February 28th a Buy Nothing Day, to send a message, just like, don't buy anything.
February 28th.
Yeah, if you can possibly avoid it. So.
All right, let's write that down.
I don't know if how effective those things are, but...
There's several days when I don't buy anything.
Well, I know. Yeah, it won't be hard for people like you and me.
Hence the one suit of clothing.
I can't buy my Charleston shoe that day.
Haroo! We're just entertaining ourselves now, people. So just go do something.
Just come back.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Come back in 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
New research indicates that taking a break from your phone can lead to noticeable improvements in mental health, overall happiness, and the ability to focus.
Wow.
A new study in the PNAS Nexus found that when people blocked mobile internet on their smartphones for just 2 weeks, they experienced better mental well-being, felt happier, and showed improved attention span.
Well, we'll never do that.
2 weeks?
You know, I looked this up, and this is fascinating. Do you know that the first call that was ever made on a handheld wireless phone was in 1973? It was a huge old, it was called the Brick. It was giant phone thing. It looked like basically like a walkie-talkie from a World War II movie or something. And the call was made on this, it was Motorola, and there was this executive, and she made the call, and it was called the Dynatac phone. It weighed 2 pounds, it took 10 hours to charge, and it had a 20-minute battery life. Those are the good old days, kiddies. According to the New York Times, which reported on this amazing achievement, quote, phone calls can be transmitted or received in buildings and vehicles, on the street, or virtually any place except for in elevators or sub-basements where radio signals will not reach. That's actually still kind of true, depending on what building you're in.
You see that sometimes if you're watching an old movie, there'll be somebody who's like a Hollywood agent or something, and they've got one of those.
They're always an object of derision, too. It's just sort of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why do you need to be in contact with people all the time? What's wrong with you? Can't you like smell the flowers, look around, see where you are?
I think it's interesting about speaking of first phone calls, like the very first phone call, the Alexander Graham Bell. And the first thing he said is, Watson, come here, I need you.
Yeah. So he need him earlier, by the way.
So
right in the groin.
Well, the very first phone call was the boss calling the flunky saying, get your ass in here. I need some coffee.
Yeah, right.
And it's never changed.
Gopher.
It's never changed since that. Yeah, you know, you're on vacation sitting on the beach and you get your phone rings and it's your boss saying, where's that report? So,
okay, just a little bit of good news. Not a huge thing, but nice. After 50 years in prison, Leonard Peltier was released.
I saw
released.
That. Yeah. Pretty good.
He was, for those of you who don't remember, given our listeners, you probably were there, Native American. He's a Native American rights activist that was been held for a half a century. There was a standoff in community where they were having this this direct action, and two FBI agents were killed. So Leonard Peltier was released from federal prison in Central Florida on Tuesday, and the commutation of Mr. Peltier's sentence was one of President Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s final acts before leaving office. Those who urged clemency for him cited his poor health and his partial blindness, and among the people who were in favor of him were several Nobel Peace Prize laureates and popular celebrities like Bruce Springsteen. So,
very good.
Yep. He was a member of the American Indian Movement, or AIM, which is a group that focused attention on the government's mistreatment of indigenous peoples. He was convicted of his role in the shootout between activists and FBI agents at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in 1975, left two agents and an activist dead. So, of the over 30 people who were present during the shootout, Leonard was the only one to be convicted. Two other AIM members were tried for murder but were acquitted. They said they acted in self-defense, but the government apparently thought that such exculpatory arguments were not appropriate for Mr. Peltier.
It is Black History Month, as we mentioned, and looking at this day in Black history, it's a pretty big one. Malcolm X was assassinated on February 21st in 1965, and it's also the birth date of Barbara Jordan.
Oh, yeah, Barbara Jordan, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
we loved Barbara Jordan.
I know.
Barbara Jordan turned my mother to a Democrat.
Really?
She did.
How did she do that?
She was a featured speaker. This is many years ago now, kiddies, but she was a featured speaker at the Democratic National Convention of 1976 that nominated Jimmy Carter. And my mother was so impressed by her. We watched that convention together. My mother was so impressed by her that she had always been a Republican, and she drifted towards the Democrats on the basis of of she liked Barbara Jordan. She thought Barbara Jordan was getting it done. She really
did.
Oh,
very cool.
So, yep. My faith in the Constitution is whole. It is complete, she said. I remember watching that impeachment hearings. Various news outlets, including even Fox News, have urged the White House to drop their ban on the Associated Press. You may remember that the White House said that it's blocking reporters from this ancient news service because the outlet still continues to refer to the so-called Gulf of America by its actual name, the Gulf of Mexico. And this letter was coordinated by the White House Correspondents Association, dozens of major news organizations, CNN, Washington Post, and others, but also Fox News said this is not right, and the First Amendment should allow the Associated Press folks, the AP folks, to be in the room. New York Times signed it, NBC, Wall Street Journal, even Newsmax did. So they could be next. I mean, I think it's a little bit of self-preservation.
Sure, sure.
Because you never know when the leader's going to have a hissy fit. So, you know.
I don't like your tie. Get
out
of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You showed the back of my head.
You're disloyal. All right. Well, I know, you know, that you listen to WRT a lot, but there are also other radio stations out there.
No, there's not. And don't tell people that.
We're not supposed to tell people that.
No, no.
Well, there's something online called Duck Radio.
Okay.
Where real ducks choose what the station plays. Six ducks.
That sounds pretty good to me.
I think we tried that here for a while. Yeah, it was pretty successful.
Yeah, sorry, Sybil. Got a duck in charge now.
They have six ducks in a garden, and they don't say where. I think it's a secret.
Oh, okay.
And they change the radio.
They don't want them influencing the ducks.
You know, yeah, well, you get the whole payola scam.
Yeah, oh, man, that's terrible.
Stuff. It's like they bring them bread and stuff. But so the ducks can change the radio station as they please by pecking a sensor.
Excellent.
The site lets you know when the last time the station was changed. So
do they do it a lot?
I don't know. It says they enjoy that there's randomness when they don't just really know. I guess it depends on how active the ducks are.
And, right.
But the ducks, they're not sure if the ducks can hear the music or not, or if they're all listening together. They should let them listen.
Yeah.
But so duck radio, that's something to consider. We'll see how we do in the next fundraiser. And from 1 to 2 on Fridays might be duck radio.
I think we should start getting our duck accents in right now.
All right, I love this one. Men who thought their partner was more likely to spend time with other men.
Yeah.
Produced ejaculates with higher sperm concentration.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
Our brains are so weird.
I mean,
this suggests that men's bodies could be biologically but unconsciously tuned to respond to perceived competition.
Of course. They've done studies on this stuff. It is the most amazing thing. I mean, I've seen stuff like this on PBS. That, you know, so they had one experiment they did where they had men do some kind of activity, and then they took their T-shirts and they put them in a little bag. And then they would say, okay, ladies, smell these T-shirts. Which ones do you like the best? And the ones that had the maximum genetic diversity from the individual who was smelling it, they liked that one the best because that's what you want. That's what sex is for.
Sure.
So we don't have a lot of copying errors or redundancies that are negative for the system.
Yeah.
So They've done over and over. This experience has been repeated 3 times, different universities across the globe, where they would show, this is again with women, show women images of men at various stages in their ovulation. And in the stage where they're sort of at peak ovulation, they say, which guy looks nice to you?
Yeah.
Which attractive? And it's always these burly guys, right? And then there's more like, okay, I need somebody to help me with skeezics here, you know? Then it's like us would be, you know? It's like whippy guys, you know? It's kind of like, that guy's going to stay around. He's needy. He's going to have to.
He's not going to have a lot of options.
And we're all doing this, both men and women, right? And everybody. And I mean, you're constantly, we respond to scents. We don't realize we're responding to smells. And I mean, there's all sorts of things like this. We're just these giant chemical soups and all sorts of things are going on below our level of consciousness that we don't even realize what's happening half the time. Well, most of the time. Until some pesky scientist comes in. Yeah. Like Louis Pasteur. I was just reading an article about, he's not very popular these days because we don't believe in the germ theory anymore. But I was reading an interesting article about him just this week where he was talking about lots of people, until Pasteur came along, believed in the concept of spontaneous generation. Like grow up for no apparent reason. And it took him a while to explain to people. And some people, of course, still don't believe it, right? All those people that thought masks were a bad idea don't understand that germs float through the air. Like, they're very tiny. That's air molecules are big for them. You know, they're doing a pretty good job getting around. But, one of the early studies, showed how coronavirus, goes through buses and restaurants and stuff like that. And oceans can deliver, like, microbes every time there's a big crashing wave or whatever. And it took somebody to figure that out. And, Pasteur used to be considered kind of like one of the great benefactors of humankind. And now he's kind of like, yeah, screw that.
Yeah. Same with that Jonas Salk. We don't need him anymore.
Yeah, no. Oh, by the way, I think that's what finally roused Mitch McConnell from his stupor was his old enemy polio is being lauded now, It's kind of like he finally got his grumbly old tortoise fighting spirit going there, as a result. Speaking of which,
the Jaguars.
It's
here.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
The Jagular. Jagular, who's your favorite senator? Do you have a favorite senator? Don't say Ron Johnson.
Hang on here.
Oh, man. What's the guy who's dead?
I got to tell you, there's a lot of those.
From Minnesota, the one who...
Wellstone.
Wellstone. Yeah. I shook his hand. I love Wellstone. That guy. I saw him on the NewsHour one time, and they were talking about some... He was amazing. They were talking about some bill that was before Congress, and the entire time he kept saying... Until we get campaign finance reform, there's no point in having this discussion.
And that's why they killed him.
They. Who's they?
The aliens.
The aliens.
Whatever,
oligarchs.
No, I guess it's hard. It's hard to.
That's
to,
a good to choice, a though. That's favorite, an excellent
but
choice.
But if I'm going to have to pick one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
From recent history.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wellstone.
Okay.
I saw him at
a great documentary.
I saw him at a rally, and I'm the guy that wants to shake their hands, And it was so funny because... I was starting to move. I was moving like a shark through the water to get up there, and companion was kind of like, "Look out! He's like a heat-seeking missile." Because I'm like, "Get right up there with the hand,"
Yeah. Wellstone would be my favorite. That's my
excellent choice. Thank you, Jaguar.
I saw Graham Parker about a few months ago in Milwaukee at a little place, and he's British, he explained right at the beginning, he didn't want any confusion.
Yeah.
He said, "I don't shake hands." I don't know why you Americans are so obsessed with shaking hands, but I can't do that. I don't do that.
And, I do like to shake people's hand. Yeah. There's something about, I don't know, men or women, there's something about that seems very kind. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I mean, I didn't do it, obviously, during the COVID, but I mean, I've always done that.
Using scented products indoors changes the chemistry of the air, producing as much air pollution as car exhaust.
Wow.
According to a new study, researchers say that breathing in these nano-sized particles could have serious health implications.
Wow.
So there.
Yeah.
Do you use a lot of, air freshener and scented stuff? Or?
No, not really.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff. No, it just always smells... chemically. And
I wouldn't say I have any kind of definite reaction to it, but I'm very sensitive to smells. So even perfumes and stuff like that. I don't make a fuss about it, but it can be overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
So. Hey, here's some happy news. If you're invested in European defense stocks, they went through the roof this week. Not a surprise, I suppose. But of course, as President Trump is threatening to reduce our military support to NATO, governments are stepping up, and this involves spending more money from companies in the good old Europe. So investors were watching closely, pushing up in European defense stocks. This is not an encouraging thing, but the shares of Rheinmetall, which is the German arms maker, have surged 13% and are up 50% for the year.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
We really want to encourage the Germans to make more weapons, obviously. The stock surge belied a pervading sense of gloom in Europe. So those who are invested in these areas are gonna clean up, apparently.
Wow.
So here you go. Now you want to invest in something, you should invest in that.
The Earth's core is undergoing surprise structural changes.
Oh, yeah.
This can't be good. Yeah. A new study has seen
scientists... It's a nip and a tuck. It's nothing big.
Unexpectedly find that the inner core of Earth is changing its physical nature.
Oh, yeah.
Changes have slightly altered the length of each day. While scientists have long been aware of the changes, most of the research assessing has looked at the way it rotates. But now scientists have found that other kinds of activity are happening beneath our feet. They've been analyzing the slowing of the rotation. When they did that, they found evidence that the inner core is not solid in the way we thought. And the core might go through a process where its shape changes and it interacts with the outer core. So it's kind of confusing right now. They're not sure what's going on.
So it's not norm core anymore, huh?
No, it's... Okay. it's becoming woke, I think, is the problem here. So... minister blames monkey for Sri Lanka nationwide power cut. The monkeys got into their power, into the grid, and shut everything down. So it's a nationwide blackout. It's been blamed on a monkey that intruded into a power station. And the monkey had come in contact with their grid transformer, causing an imbalance in the system. So one monkey can bring the whole grid down, apparently.
That does not bode well.
No.
Abortion clinics in Missouri this week resumed procedures for the first time in years, despite a continued push by conservative state leaders to block a constitutional amendment. You remember the amendment? Voters approved it back in November that basically put abortion rights in the Constitution of the state of Missouri. And there's been an extended fight about this. Missouri was the first state to enact an abortion ban after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. But then it became the first state with a near total ban to then approve a citizen-sponsored abortion rights amendment. And they've been trying to do everything they can to hold that back. But apparently, the amendment, by the way, was approved by 52% of Missouri voters. Establish a constitutional right to abortion until viability. That's the point in pregnancy when doctors generally believe a fetus can survive outside the body. So those are back in Missouri. Women now have that option again. This is the season where you're getting a lot of, I don't know about you, I eat a lot of frozen fruits and vegetables during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some nice news this week. I like frozen, you know, frozen vegetables.
I heat them up, though.
I do, too. Okay. Yes, I do, okay. too. But it turns out that they can actually be very healthy. In fact, nutritionists say they give frozen vegetables in the winter a nod over fresh. And part of it, of course, is it's part of it just the retention of the nutritional value. And part of it is the sustainability of the supply chains. So if you're getting things that are frozen and were frozen in season, then you don't have the same extensive supply chains that you might have. And so it's better for the environment as
well. Yeah, well, that's interesting. I'm always surprised when those types of things come out saying that the frozen stuff is just as healthy. And so,
yeah.
But because, my natural inclination is it's frozen. It's not as good as the fresh stuff. But,
right,
but apparently it is. So my mom worked at a vegetable canning company.
Sure.
When I was growing up, and that stuff was horrible.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's like,
they
just like bleached any kind of nutrients out of that.
When
stuff.
I was a kid, we had a lot of stuff out of cans, and I think it turned me off of stuff. I can remember canned spinach in particular.
Yeah.
It was not like Popeye portrayed it.
No,
slimy.
Yeah,
and grotesque.
That's the stuff my mom made. Yeah. She made that and cream corn. And, green beans. And every once in a while, the benevolent employer would give the employees a free case of green beans or something,
right.
And for Christmas.
I can remember green beans when I was growing up in Kentucky always had the canned taste built right in. Like this This came from a can, right? How can you tell? Well,
back then there was probably a lot of lead in the cans. Yummy.
Yeah. My sister never made it past 10th grade.
Well, lead's kind of sweet, I think. I think it tastes sweet.
Yeah, well, they definitely had a flavor. I think it's why down in Kentucky, everybody puts bacon. Like when you make green beans, you're cooking them up, you put some bacon in the pan.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's to take the edge off the can taste. That's my theory. You know, something else that's really good for you, by the way,
that
was just reading an article about this, that chickpeas are a really good source for plant-based protein.
Sure.
If you're thinking to yourself, hey, how can I, you know, get a good, nice protein-based diet when you're maybe kicking some of the meats these days, I recommend to you chickpeas. They aren't peas, they're beans. And they're actually something called pulses. They're a category of legumes that are celebrated for their copious health benefits.
Mm, yeah, they are good.
Have some chickpeas.
I'm disgustingly sick of chickpeas at this point.
Well, you've been a vegetarian for years. Are you vegan or vegetarian?
Vegetarian.
Yeah, you've been a vegetarian for years.
Yeah,
I think as long as we know
I eat my neighbor's pets once in a while. I don't think that counts.
You got to go crazy every once in a while.
Festival! You're Fluffy.
Well, Fluffy had it coming.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. Time to declare. It's the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Stick around. The kiosk is...
There we go.
Stick around. The kiosk is next. And then after that, Who Cooks for You with Real Jaguar. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
As always, we'll be back and we'll talk at you next Friday. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Thanks again for listening and have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, February 21st.
This is Bird Note. 20 years ago today, we broadcast those words for the first time.
This is Bird Note.
Since then, that phrase has been said by 60 narrators.
This is Bird Note.
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 On well over 300 radio stations in 49 states and 4 countries.
This is Bird Note.
And also for the past 3 years, en español.
Esto es Bird Note.
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 For a total of more than 7,000 times.
This is Bird Note.
Or at least something close to those words. This is Goat Note.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Noir. Sometimes saying the phrase quick and chipper.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird
Note. This is Bird Note.
Occasionally more somber and serious.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note.
And other times, drawn out, savoring these words that have welcomed you to every show.
This